in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? What are they suggesting in the first of those two things? What we've already just read about, right? There were many who believed that Jesus' birth was the result of sexual immorality, and evidently there were some who alleged that it was a Samaritan man that Mary had been involved with. And so they asked this question, and then down in verse 53, they continue, and they say this, "Are you greater," to Jesus they say, "are you greater than our father Abraham who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" And then in verse 56, Jesus speaks, and he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" So, verse 59 says, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Now, why did they pick up stones? To kill Jesus at this point, because they believed he was guilty of blasphemy. Why? Because of what he just said. What did he say? "Before Abraham was, I am." Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Before Abraham was, I was." That would have been a claim of his existing before Abraham, and that was true, but that wasn't the whole truth. Jesus not only existed before Abraham existed, Jesus had existed eternally before Abraham existed. And so he says, "Before Abraham was, not I was, but I am." And some of you will recognize that phrase, because in the Old Testament, when God spoke to Moses from a burning bush, Moses asked who he was and who he should say would send him, and who God was sending Moses at this point, commissioning him to go and deliver his people from Egypt. And God answers, "Tell them that I am has sent you." That's why the Jewish leaders who knew that text so well and knew their Old Testament so well picked up stones to attempt to kill Jesus, because Jesus was claiming to be God. Emmanuel. Exactly what this prophecy said. God with us. God with us. I like the way G. Campbell Morgan said it. He said this about Jesus: "He was the God-man. Not God indwelling a man, of such there have been many. Not a man deified, of such there have been none, save of the myths of pagan systems of thought, but God and man." God and man, combining in one personality the two natures, a perpetual enigma and mystery, baffling the possibility of explanations. This is what the Bible says about this one who was born at Christmas: that he was God with us. We have three boys that are living with us and that we're taking care of. And one of the things that they did a couple of days ago was they discovered we have some dominoes in our house. And like most of us like to do, or kids at least like to do with dominoes, they started setting them up all in a line, intending to do what we've all seen done before, to knock over the first one, which would then hit the second one and the third one and so forth, and you would have this long line of dominoes that would fall. I was thinking about what they did as I studied for this text this morning, or from this text this morning for this message, and I thought, you know, that's the way these things relate to each other that we've been talking about this morning. You see, you knock over one of these things and they all fall down. You knock over the domino of the virgin birth and the domino of the integrity of Scripture falls down. And then when that domino falls, it hits another domino, the chastity of Mary. And that domino has to fall. And that domino hits another domino, which also has to fall. And that domino could be called the deity of Christ. You see, these things stand or fall together. And I guess what I'd like for you to think about this morning as we conclude is this. In reality, when it comes to Christianity and when it comes to Christmas, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Logically, it can't be some, but not the rest. It really can't be. It's either all or nothing. There's no position in the middle that really makes sense logically. Either Jesus was born of a virgin, and the Bible is true, and Mary was pure, and Jesus was God, or none of that's true. You really can't separate those things. And so what I would say to you this morning is, if you're a person who's not yet made a decision about Jesus and you've not yet made a commitment to Him, you need to understand really that it really is all or nothing. It's all in terms of these beliefs. And in reality, if we want to be consistent, it's all in terms of our commitment. See, it doesn't make any sense to just be somewhat committed to Jesus, to be somewhat committed to the scriptures. It really doesn't. It really has more, it involves more integrity for a person to say, I'm not at all committed to Jesus, and I'm not at all committed to the scriptures, and I don't at all believe this, or to say, I do believe this fully, and I'm fully committed to the scriptures, and I'm fully committed to Jesus Christ. Anything in between really doesn't make sense in light of what's clearly taught in Scripture, not only about this particular issue, but so many others that stand or fall together. So I want to remind you this morning that we live on the visited planet. We live on the planet that God Himself has visited in the person of Jesus Christ, who came through a supernatural conception and a supernatural birth. And I want to invite you to trust Him if you haven't. Commit your life to Him if you haven't. Or if you're one of those people who maybe isn't fully persuaded or fully committed, I would invite you to think about what we talked about this morning and make a decision once and for all. I do believe this. I believe all of this. And I'm giving all that I am completely to this. Because folks, listen, if this is true, nothing matters more than this. And if it's not true, it really doesn't matter at all. All I'm saying to you is, be consistent and make up your mind about who Jesus was, about what the season's all about, and trust Him. Let's bow and let's pray. Let me invite you to stand as we do. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment before I begin to pray, let me just say, if you're here and you'd like to have someone pray with you about something this morning, or if you want to talk to someone about your relationship to Christ, I'll be standing down front this morning, and Pastor Paul will also be standing down front, and we'll be available for you to come forward if you'd like, and to come and just share with us whatever it is you'd like to have us pray with you about or talk with you about in terms of your relationship with Christ. And we'd like to help you in terms of making a commitment, or maybe reaffirming or committing yourself more fully to Jesus. So remember that as we're dismissed in just a moment. Father, I thank You. I thank You this morning for these truths that are at the heart of what Christianity is all about. Jesus being God with us. And the Bible being true. And Mary being a godly woman. And so, Father, help us this season as we think again, as we come again to this time of year. Help us to think about these stories. And for some of us, God, we've heard them so long that maybe they've lost their wonder to us. And maybe in some ways they never really did have and hold the wonder that they should. We never really have possibly felt the awe that we should, some of us, because we've always heard them. And we haven't ever really been shocked by how incredible they are. And so, Father, I pray that that would happen this Christmas. And that you'd help us in light of these truths to fully commit ourselves to Jesus Christ and to trust Him. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you this morning.